What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Action Ignited podcast, the podcast to help you ignite your action and reach your goals far more than just health and wellness. As always, I'm your host, Ism Hadahat, here with my co-host, Jason Hogarth. And today we really want to dive into something super important to us. And I want you to sit with this and think what comes to mind. Are you of the world or in the world? So this comes up to mind off a book, Resisting Happiness, that I pretty much just completely completed. And it talks a little bit about religion, but it's really got me just thinking about everything that's going on in our present reality. And really, take a second to think about it. Are you of the world or in the world? So with that being said, what comes up to mind, man, is when you hear that, is there any thoughts, any scenarios? What do you feel like comes to mind?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing to dive into here, because, you know, you have a little bit more experience with it. I never heard of the saying until you brought it up to me. And for me, it's, I think, just been something where I've naturally done this without like really putting a name to it. I look at it as trying to avoid the outside noise and all the potential distractions that could be out there for us to dive into, regardless of what they are. I think a lot of things that we get exposed to now, especially from like a big media perspective, it's a lot of negative news that can put your outlook on life in a bad trajectory, not only like for what the world is, but just the way that you're thinking on a daily basis. It can make you, if you struggle with depression and things like that, even bring you to a different low. So when you're in this state of kind of being in the world, that's what can start to consume you, as opposed to when you want to kind of be of the world. It's living to your best self, living to your authentic self, trying to get the most out of every day, staying in a positive mindset. So I've sat with it since you brought it up to me as well. So now, you know, I hope our listeners here can sit with it themselves to figure out exactly what it means for them. But to start, that's where I go, my interpretation of it, at least initially, but excited to keep diving into it more. Now, being that this is something where you've read a whole book, in the background, I think it'd be great to hear kind of your side of it, of what this means to you, why you like it so much, and why we're even talking about it today.
No, for sure. And you shared some really good insight on it. And I think part of it is when you're in the world, I'll start off by saying it's so easy to get lost in all the negative things that are going on. And we can call it like the darkness that's going on. And, you know, just based on some current events, we won't go crazy in detail because that's not essentially what we do here. We send a lot of prayers and love for, you know, all the things within the other countries that are going on, the tragic, you know, moments that are going on around the world. And it's very easy to get caught up in that. And again, I'm not telling anybody to not be aware of what's going on. Like, it's important to stay in tune with, you know, current events and whatnot, but it's easy to live in this fear and be lost as far as, hey, I don't know how this is going to happen because everything else around me seems like, or it may feel like it's falling apart. So that's essentially what we bring up when it comes to being in the world, especially within the negativity. Now, on the flip side of it, when you're of the world, it allows you to show up and be there and be a light for those around you and for yourself. So for us, we've talked about it, like this podcast means the world to us, and we can't thank you guys enough for listening and being with us, because this is how we're in the world right now. We want to be in here and shedding our light, or sharing our light and our platform that we have to help you and inspire your action. And we hope that you feel that along the journey of this. So those are things that come up right away. And I think too, when it comes to, hey, are we of the world or in the world? We can use a lot of personal examples, which we'll dive into in a few, but there is a, you know, we refer to football a bunch and we'll kind of give some feedback, or I guess some background on it. But there's a football player, he's an NFL quarterback named Kirk Cousins. And we think that he's a perfect and prime example of being in the world and not of the world. And essentially all we mean by that is when you're of the world and in that type of scene, it's so easy to be this flashy, materialistic superstar, or you could just be your authentic self. And he's literally a prime example for that. So I know you and I have talked about it a bunch. We've shared some videos. We've made jokes about it. Do you want to take that and share some insight on who Kirk Cousin is and why I feel like he is just the prime, one of the prime examples that we'll use for this?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved Kirk Cousins. I shouldn't say always, but I'd say since like his Vikings time and like when you actually get to see a little bit more about him. One, he's a very underrated player, so he doesn't always get that recognition anyway, but he is deserving of it. And I think part of the reason he doesn't have this big personality in the media is because he's not flashy and he doesn't do those materialistic things. You know, unfortunately, he just tore his Achilles this past weekend. And one of the things I saw on the internet, I think it was from Barstool, was people that would be upset, or people that are upset that Kirk Cousins got hurt. And it was like the Vikings, and then it was like Target and Kohl's, because it's a joke that because that's like the type of clothes that he wears. But I think it goes to the point of he isn't interested in wearing all these, you know, designer clothes, flashy jewelry, things like that. You know, there's the Kirk Thuggins memes that go around of him wearing all of his teammates' chains when he has a big game, but like, that's not him. That's not his thing. He has fun with that. But I think the Netflix series Quarterback really showed what kind of person he truly is. So if you haven't checked that out, I would definitely recommend it, because you could just see kind of the other side of his life, of how he treats his life like a normal everyday person, regardless of like what kind of fame he has. Him, his family do all kinds of normal stuff. I saw a thing recently on, I think it was Instagram, that they went to one of the playoff baseball games, or maybe it was like a AAA baseball game or something, and just went like as a normal family. No special treatment, nothing, just sat in normal seats.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no people. VIP tickets or anything.
Yeah. So right. It's like, it's so cool to see him do that type of stuff. And I think that's just someone that wants to enjoy his life the way he wants to. And he doesn't need all like the flashy extras that he can definitely afford and could get, but if that's not what makes you happy, what's the point? And I think he's like a perfect living, breathing example of that.
You know, you brought up happiness, and I think that it's so easy to think that, oh, this happiness is when we have, you know, this whole list of things. It's when I have this house and I have this money and I have this jewelry, and it's human nature. It's okay to think like that. Sometimes I get lost as far as, well, I'm not seeing these certain goals come to life, and those goals may be materialistic things. But is that really like happiness? And, you know, whoever hears this, you know, you be your own judge for what happiness really is. But being of the world or in the world, you can holistically be of the world and think that, you know, happiness really isn't until I see those things. So like, take some time and sit with that and see, you know, what resonates for you. Also with Kirk, I figure just to share the spelling of his first name, because sometimes it gets a little confusing, but it's K-I-R-K. And then his last name is Cousin. So like a cousin, like family member with just an S at the end. Figured I'd share that for, went down the wrong pipe. But I figured sharing that for those who aren't like big football fans, but he sheds the perfect light on, he isn't this flashy guy, everything Jason said. And it's good to kind of see that, you know, through the fame of being a big time player, he's just him. Within that and everybody seeing him and the topic of media, what do you feel like media has done as far as this being of the world or in the world, that and like maybe influence from others?
Yeah, I think across the board, it depends how you can perceive it yourself. I think largely it can have a negative impact, but it's also, you know, if you view things like this show about Kirk Cousins as media, then it's a good thing, because you get to see how someone like that lives their lives, and that could be a model for you. But then like when you think about media in the terms of, you know, 9 times out of 10, I feel like when I look at any type of news, it's negative, not positive. And like, that can just be a drain on you. So I think it's knowing what you can take and what affects your mood and what you're able to control yourself. So if reading all that stuff makes you very anxious, very sad, whatever, then stay away from it and have a way of controlling that for yourself to where you're getting the information you need, but without the negative effects. And you know, all this isn't to say like, I like to look at happiness as the end goal, no matter what it is, but there's nothing wrong with having materialistic goals either. I know that was one piece that, we kind of talk about of like focus on the feeling, focus on being happy at the end of whatever your goal is. But you know, I have goals that are materialistic as well, like cars, houses, things like that at different stages of my life, but it's also within my expectations, within knowing what I truly want, not something that's been kind of pushed onto me. So I think that's another key point to think about is we're not saying materialistic goals are bad because you need them. You need monetary goals, things like that, something to strive for, but also take it one level further of going back to those kind of emotional goals of having the feeling behind those things and not looking at the material as the end all be all. Because at the end of the day, you'll get those, you'll be happy you have them, but there's always going to be that next thing you're going to want and you're going to want to chase. So having everything else after that is going to be just as important. So nothing wrong with it. It's just another way to push yourself.
Oh, you beat me to it. Like, I love how you expanded on the feeling of it, because I feel like that's super important, where if you didn't go that much in depth and we left that, I feel like it's like, oh, well, what do you mean like the feeling behind it? But I love that you said that if you're just after the materialistic thing and not necessarily like the feeling you'd feel from that. So maybe it's like fulfillment or making an impact or being able to provide more, like those things can keep you going. But if it's just the literally end goal and the materialistic property or the thing from that, it's like exactly what you said, you receive it. It's like, okay, well, I need more. And you just become exhausted. And I also want to rewind as far as like monitoring the media that you take in. Like, really, thanks for sharing that one, because you know, we're both super family oriented, and I see it the most of my family, just because of, I don't think our friend group sits down and watches like the news much, and I make jokes out of it. I mean it out of love, but I tell my parents all the time, it's like, limit the news you watch. Like, you could stay obviously in tune, or I don't know what phrase I want to use, but stay like up to date with the news that's going on. But if it's literally the first and last thing you absorb or watch or intake, what do you think is going to happen to mood? Like, there's a direct correlation to that. So I think that's really important as far as monitoring what kind of happens there. But then with media too, I wanted to shed some light on this. I know we've spoke about it. I don't know if we talked about in one of the episodes just yet, but like the comparison being this like thief of joy, I feel like media does that. It's so easy to think and look at, you know, what different people are doing and get lost in that. And then what are we doing? We're being of the world because we think that, well, we need to be doing that exact same thing too.
Yeah. And to take that one level further, because I know you've experienced this being a personal trainer, not just media, but maybe let's dive into the social media effects on a fitness journey. I think ties really well into this conversation, because I think one, it gives people the wrong expectations for what they can achieve or what they should expect to achieve. And I know you could go dive in on this a little bit further, but just from my own experience, like scrolling on social media, a lot of the physiques that you see aren't necessarily going to be attainable for you because they aren't achieved through healthy manners. There's a lot of people that are taking steroids and things like that, and they say they're clean, but they're not. I mean, you see it all the time. So you're striving for this goal of like what isn't attainable from just like natural exercise and lifting, and even taking it from like less of an extreme. Just like if you're just trying to get back into fitness and get yourself in a healthy state, it can make it even more intimidating of how am I going to go from this to that.
There's a perspective to all of it for sure. Like, I feel like as a, you know, health and wellness professional, it's so easy to think like, hey, is this the gold standard? Because a lot of influencers and you know, well-known personal trainers and coaches in general, they're not bad people, they're not bad trainers, a lot of them are really good professionals. But sometimes people are portrayed a certain way because they're just, you know, Instagram is Instagram. Things need to be sexy. So a lot of times people are half naked doing these workouts and whatnot, and they're good. It's attention grabbing, but like, is there an impact behind it? And some professionals can be viewed as maybe not a quote unquote professional, just because that's all you kind of see of them, but they do have some knowledge, and they're losing the, what's the word I want to use? Like credibility, because it's like, oh, they're just eye candy. So that's one side of it. And two, like, you made a good point too. Sometimes it's easy to see these individuals and think like, well, I'm going to continue to pursue to look like that person and be that person. And it's like, there's two sides to it. Sometimes these individuals do it just to inspire you. The other side is like, they've worked really, really hard to get there. And we don't know how long it took or some setbacks they had. But the other side of it too is, media is media. Sometimes people have to do certain extremes to look and be a certain way. And it's hard to portray which way it goes. So like, I'm just going to tie that back into, you know, monitoring what media you take in, because you can easily absorb all the negative side of the fitness realm of things, of the extreme diets, the fad diets, and the extreme looking trainer or coach. And it's really like they're just looking a certain way rather than being a legitimate professional. So those are a few things there. And I think, again, going back into being like being a health professional, it's easy to really think like, hey, this is the only way I'm going to grow a following and make a difference is to do what these people are doing. And at the end of the day, you don't have to. So if somebody's listening to this that is in that realm or any type of realm where they feel like, well, I have to look a certain way to do something, you don't. You'll find your unique way of being you and just being your true self. And that'll gain the audience that you do. And just think about the value that you'll put behind that. So that, I know I kind of went on a little bit as far as that. Did that answer your question, or is there anything else that we could dive deeper within that topic?
It's always interesting. And like that I think is when we're talking about this, be of the world, not in the world. If you're so focused on like all these crazy things you see on social media and you want to do that, you want to do this, there's a lot of other things that you should take into consideration too, of just like, you know, your body type, your body composition, bone structure, all of that. So it's like, it's fine to have goals, fine to have someone that you're like, I want to look like them. But you also, I think it goes back to being able to be flexible and change what that vision looks like. You know, you might be able to get to the same weight, body fat percentage as that person, but you might carry it completely different and it might look different for you just because that's the way your body's designed versus the way that their body's designed. And like, those are things that you can't necessarily change. So you have to be okay with the image looking a little different than what you thought, but realizing I am healthy, I bettered myself through this whole process versus, well, I don't look exactly like them, so it didn't work, or I'm not satisfied and I want to keep going. There's nothing wrong with keeping going and being satisfied, but I think it's just being able to change that picture so you can also be happy with the process, not just the destination.
Oh, I mean, trust us. When we shared something on manifestation, and it's like, you may bring something into life that's meant for you, but it may not look like what you envision at first, but be patient. You never know. So that immediately made me think of that, what you just said over there. So speaking as far as, you know, making this life that we want, and we can call it manifesting, but just let's make it simple, creating the life that you want. When it comes to relationships and family and creating that kind of dynamic, have you seen any examples of, or have you felt, because I definitely have, of like, hey, if you're of the world, like your relationship should be this way. And if you're in the world, I want to have my relationship be this way. Have you felt or seen anything with that?
Yeah. So I definitely experienced that pretty frequently. I would say, maybe not frequently, but I experience it from time to time. I think the main thing that comes to mind is, you know, me and Megan have been together for over 10 years now, since sophomore year of high school. And I think the most common thing that we get from either friends, maybe sometimes family, and then like just like random people in some cases where it's like, oh, how long have you been together? And it's like, oh, well, why aren't you married yet? Or why aren't you engaged? All that. I think that topic comes up a lot. And it's just something where I look at it and it's me and Megan have our conversations about our plan for our life, you know, our love for each other, what we mean to each other, all of that. And like all of that is things that it's in due time, but it's also we have a general understanding of what we're trying to do, what we're trying to get done, and what we are prioritizing right now and why things are a certain way, to where it's not necessarily anyone else's business, just to be blunt about it. And that rings true for everyone. Like, you don't owe anyone an explanation for where you are in your relationship journey. And I just look at it as it's one of those things. And like, you can kind of tell when someone's being a little like smug about it versus when people are just like having a conversation with you and they're genuinely curious. And I think there's that key difference there too. Cause I've had really great conversations about that type of stuff where people are like, oh, just keep having fun, keep building your life the way you want it, things like that. So it's just understanding that like everyone's on their own journey and you don't need to benchmark your relationship against anyone else's, regardless of how long you've been together, what age you are, or anything like that. It's just, there's one thing that matters the most, and it's, are you and your partner happy with everything that's going on? And do you have a mutual understanding of where you're at? And if you could say yes to that, then what more do you really need in that process? And I think that's the fundamental thing of, you know, it's easy to get caught up in, oh, this person's getting engaged, they're getting engaged. And it's like, oh, I need to do that right now because they are. And it's not really that. It's having an understanding of like what we're trying to do and what makes us happy too. And that's not to say you should deprioritize getting married or anything like that. It's just more of do things in your own time when you're both ready for everything.
No, I love that we're able to share these things as far as our relationship, because, you know, we're relatively young and we've been with our partners for a long time. And I've been through the same thing before I proposed last year. It was just like, oh, well, you guys have been together for this long. And like, are you going to pop in the question soon? And it's like, well, yeah, but like, it depends who's asking me, or, you know what I mean? So that was one. And then now like diving into the wedding planning of things, everybody has an opinion on it, everybody. And we won't go in crazy detail of them because people want it in a different setting. They want it in a different complete location. Are you doing this? What are you wearing? Like, there is an opinion for everything. And at the end of the day, it's whatever best works for you. And it's easy to feel that sometimes, and it's easy to not feel that sometimes. And I think even rewinding it, besides like, you know, I'm engaged and Jason's in a serious relationship, he'll soon be in when he chooses to, like, there's individuals out there who are older than us that choose just to actively date, and there's nothing wrong there. And I'm sure you may have got the questions as far as like, wait, when are you going to settle down and anything around that? And it's, you know, maybe you visit those things another time when you feel like it's right for you. And that's why it's so easy to get lost in, are you in the world or of the world? Because you can be of the world and think, well, I need to go do all these different things, but you really don't have to. So I think our relationships, we've got to learn a lot early on. And I'm definitely, you know, grateful we are, and that we're able to share these things, because it can get tough.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone has a preconceived expectation on things, I guess, is the way I look at it, of, because me and her have had these conversations, we have a great understanding with each other, which is, I think, what makes our relationship work and is so special as far as like the way we are building our life together since like moving down here and like taking it on from, I guess, a more adult angle, you know, out of school and stuff like that. So,
you know, what was I thought really important, and I want to highlight it, is you said how you guys are creating your life, because at the end of the day, that's what this is. Whether it's the whether it's the relationships specifically and ours with our partners, or, you know, again, just going to retying it to the phrase, I'm going to keep saying it, being of the world or in the world, like, it's the life that you create. And it's like, what direction do you want to go with it? Because at the end of the day, you have the power to do that. And I think that you were able to say like, hey, this is the life that we're creating, and we'll do it on our own timeline because it's our life. So I thought that was really, really important to highlight.
Yeah. No, I think that's like one of the biggest things that you could take away is, as you are going through this journey, whether, you know, this topic of relationships or anything, it's you're creating your life. And the only person that truly gets a say in that is you. So don't let other people put expectations on you unless it's something that, you know, is going to help drive you forward towards what truly makes you happy. I think that's like really the big theme is follow what's going to make you happy. Make sure you're living a life that you love and you believe you deserve, and don't settle for anything less than that.
Yeah, big mic drop there.
All right, man. I think we're good to wrap it up for today.
I think we're good too.
This is a great topic. So I guess just as a general reminder here, Be of the world, not in the world. Be careful what you consume. Be more like Kirk Cousins, number one. And don't let anyone tell you where you need to be on your journey. Your expectations are all that truly matters. So have a good process for setting your goals so you can achieve your dreams and live the life you love. And with that, ignite your passion, ignite your life.
Boom. Thank you, everybody.